And another one bites the dust. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It's Thursday, September 18th, 7:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. And I am your host. I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm a guy with a bunch of opinions, and I have a cup of chai here to smooth my way through the morning show. I have a backup cup here with sweet peach tea. Homemade sweet peach tea, by the way. I just, call the show, text the show. Where did five come from? 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think, and we'll go on from there. But you just share whatever. You just call, text, whatever you want to. Just do whatever. It may or may not be used on the show. It may or may not be used against you in the court of law. It may or may not be even checked. I don't know. It all depends on what the producer wants to do. At some point, if I ever hire a producer, I got my trusty little puppy here beside me sleeping. He's taking a nice little nap. It's morning, his morning nap. Nappy time. Before he goes out and chases squirrels all day. Big news today. There was some other news going on, but everything this morning, and I went through my feed usually in the morning, and I just kind of look at what's going on. The big news is Jimmy Kimmel is being silenced. His rights of free speech are being taken away from him because he's been canceled. Not necessarily canceled. He's been suspended. The show's been suspended indefinitely. The word on the street is that he's going to be taken off as soon as they can. They've been looking for a replacement for this guy for a long time. I think I played his comments yesterday. They were so appalling. This idea that anything less than a MAGA guy that killed Charlie Kirk. Apparently there's a wave of understanding right now among, now of course, the people who really control shows like Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. You see, there's not money just gushing around out there anymore like there was, because, you know, USAID isn't pumping the funds out like they were. There's a scrutiny, kind of a critical eye watching what's going on there. And so they haven't been able to just flush, you know, lose $40 million a year on the Stephen Colbert show. How do you do that? How do you make that business model even work? Well, we're only losing $40 million a year, but it's worth it because he's a political mouthpiece. When you realize that political mouthpiece is not effective, and all of a sudden Trump wins the election spending half the money that Kamala Harris did. Well, she only had 170 days to get on. You're the incumbent. Anyway, a whole other rabbit hole we're not going to go down right now. So the issue is that this money's not out there floating around, so that they're dependent now on actual sponsors trying to make money here. They're answering to some people. Yeah, there's been some changes with ownership and who's managing and taking over some of the television companies. The networks that these people, you know, they have to buy network time, especially on cable. You have to buy your way into some of these networks. And of course, the sponsors that the people who pay the money are the consumers, and also the people who pay for their subscriptions to cable networks or satellite networks. And then you have the sponsors who'd be willing to advertise on those. Well, sponsorships, the advertisers pull their advertising from a guy who's doing something like that, who's making those kinds of comments. Not jokes. He's not a comedian. This is
John Stewart realized he had a get out of jail free card on this one.
This is where it really started happening. Was The Daily Show. It was a political show disguised as a comedy show, an evening comedy show. And they did a good job of it. They were very skilled at what they were doing. I watched it a lot and didn't realize how much propaganda there was on it, really, but it became much more pointed after certain individuals were in place. But this whole idea that Jimmy Kimmel is being silenced, and I could play a lot of videos this morning about some of the comments that have been made. I can't believe Stelter is back on the air again. We're going to go to our political correspondent, Brian Stelter. I can't believe this guy is still on the air. In what world do they fire the guy and then they realize we can't live without this guy. We've got to have him back. But how does that happen? There's something else going on there. I'm not going to go any further than just to say that. But I'll let you fill in the blanks. They're not hiring this guy for his talent and his intelligence. Let's just say that. And then you got, what's the guy's name? I can't even think of his name. I so try to wipe these people out of my memory banks. The guy who was on all the time after Chris Cuomo, right before I would do whatever they were. They had the back-to-back shows on. He's on there. Of course, now he's out doing his own thing. He's getting lambasted on doing on the street interviews, trying to make himself relevant again. And he's finding out that the world is not what he thought it was. And he's making all these comments about, well, you know, their response, I need to find it because it was actually very, I can find it pretty quickly here. I just listened to it this morning, so it's got to be in my history here. I'm just going to go down here real quick. History. I'm pretty sure it was on Sky News Australia. Where'd it go? It's got to be right here. I think it was on Power Hour. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's this one. Of course, there's all kinds of other, like Sisson, all these other people are out there. Oh, this is where it was. So We Got Receipts. This is a channel called We Got Receipts. And I'm going to try to find this. As I'm talking here, I'm going to scrub through some things. There's all these comments. Of course, now this is Schumer. I'm not sure what this gal's name is. She runs this show, runs this channel called We Got Receipts.
Murdoch has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight now that he's seen how he has perverted and slimed the truth.
Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
This is a red line Van Jones speaking. That has been crossed for our industry, for the First Amendment. For the right of people to speak.
That's Van Jones talking about Jimmy Kimmel. Now, the other guy, Chuck Schumer, was talking about Tucker Carlson, how terrible it was that Tucker Carlson was out there talking about January 6th and playing actual video of what happened on January 6th and telling us that it wasn't true. Chuck Schumer saying it wasn't true. What he was putting up there wasn't true. So Richard Murdoch should fire him immediately. But now Schumer has come out. Schumer has now come out in defense of Jimmy Kimmel, saying his Second Amendment rights are being taken, or his First Amendment rights are being taken away from him, freedom of speech.
So let's,
was
let's
nothing
continue.
Hateful about no. what was said?
No, there wasn't anything hateful. It was disgusting what he said about the killer.
And even that's, hateful speech is protected.
Yeah, it is.
This is not acceptable. Yeah. If you are,
it's hateful speech is protected. Don't he can say whatever he wants. The government's not stepping in and telling him he can't say what he wants to say. It's not protected from your employer. That's not protected speech. You can say whatever you want. You're under contract with your employer. And it's if they can, I have an employer, and that employer, if I violate the terms of my agreement, and I post something on social media that's not allowed, I can be fired. It's just simple. If Jimmy Kimmel says something that the company doesn't like, he can be fired. He can continue to say whatever he wants to say. Have your own little social media channel. And of course, we were all told during COVID, well, these are private companies. They can censor whatever they want to censor, right? They can do whatever they want. It's not the government censoring them. It's of course, now the government was telling them to censor. That's what was bad about this is that the administration was working with some of these social media companies to force people to be censored, to censor certain narratives. Well, I make sure that everybody understands this laptop thing is not real. It's a Russian disinformation. That's what that is. That's what they were telling them.
We're going to run a media organization that's called a news organization. You have to stand up to government bullying anywhere in the world and certainly in the United States.
This is not government bullying. That's where we kind of get this issue of it's not. This lady does a good job. She kind of just all the facts. Here it is. This is this guy. I can't remember the guy's name. So I can find it. Here we go.
Right lies on national television.
Jimmy Kimmel. They're trying to cancel Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sure you've heard the news by now. But I've been going through the internet.
Now, I don't know if he's going to cuss here. He probably will because that's a thing right now with these guys. Can't remember this guy's name. Thankfully. And he might cuss here. So just be aware. If you got kids in the room, just want to give that warning.
Looking for the clips to see what they're mad or upset about, and I can't find it. I can't find it. The one that they have on there, I don't see where that's even controversial.
The one that they have on there is the one where he says that it was a MAGA guy who shot Charlie Kirk. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem in the whole thing. But the whole thing was just his outright just coming out and talking like he was talking in the midst of this whole thing. It's just too soon. We're being told, oh, you can't put this on the left. Can't put this on the left because the police haven't come out and given us any kind of indication what his motive was. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Even though they have. But they're saying that there hasn't been. But this is, you know, their thing.
As a comedian, this is the same party, the same group of people who complained about everything is too woke. Comedians can't say anything anymore. They're killing comedy.
Yeah, they are. They're killing comedy. This isn't comedy. First of all, this isn't comedy. It wasn't a joke here. It was a statement made that was flagrantly misleading and objectively false.
The folks who are complaining about killing comedy are killing comedy. The folks who are complaining about canceling people are canceling people. What does that tell you? That they don't...
So are you admitting that they were canceling people? That's what this is cancellation? This isn't cancellation, by the way. This is consequences. There's a difference when you can't. Nobody's taking away Jimmy Kimmel's social media. Nobody's taking away Jimmy Kimmel's ability to get to his bank account. They're not going to be banging on his door and doing an investigation here. This is just
an employer who says, we're not going to have you working for us if you're going to be doing that kind of thing.
Believe in anything that they're saying, that they've said.
See, this is where he's taking it. He's taking this whole thing down a narrative. He's gotten this straw narrative, I'm going to call it. Just this phony narrative that he's got out there. And then he drills down with that, and he takes off in this whole thing to malign.
No core. All it is.
They don't believe anything. They have no core.
If it doesn't fit their particular ideology or belief, then they don't want to hear it. And that's the moment that we're in now. This is a very dangerous and scary.
Oh, this is dangerous and scary. Dangerous and scary. Dangerous and scary. Our constitutional, our constitution is at risk. Our democracy is at risk. This is dangerous and scary.
This should send a chill or a shiver up every American spine, regardless if they're Democrat or Republican.
No, it shouldn't. No.
Scary shit.
We didn't want people scary.
Ratting out people.
This is scary. Don Lemon, that's the guy's name. This is scary, Don. What's scary is that somebody got shot. That's what's scary. That's what's scary, Don.
We're saying things that they don't agree with, or saying things that they deem to be negative about the.
So Jimmy Kimmel lost his job, possibly. Charlie Kirk lost his life. His wife lost her husband. His children lost their father. Jimmy Kimmel lost his job. And I can't say that he necessarily was so talented that he deserved that job. But there you go.
That and tragic death of Charlie Kirk, that's like, to me, it reminds me of back in the day when you had to like rat people out because you believe that they belong to a certain political party.
When was that, Don? When did you live in a country like that? That reminds me of back in the day. Oh, really? You grew up in that? You grew up in that. When was that, Don? That reminds you of that.
I thought America was beyond that. I guess we're going back to that time now.
So let me get this
straight. It's scary. It's scary, Don. Oh, it's scary. Yeah, that's scary stuff there, Don. That's the way that is. So here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he said. Doing everything they can to score political points from it, all this stuff. Here we are. This is
watershed moment. I think we all need to be talking about. We actually, and it's not just a media story. I know you agree with me on this. It's not just a media story. It's a democracy story. It's a freedom of speech story. It's so many things. And I've been thinking a lot today about how I lived through years of answering questions from a lot of these network journalists, people who.
I don't know who this guy is. She's split screening with here, but this guy's got he has Rachel Maddow glasses and the Rachel Maddow haircut. And I don't know exactly for sure what he's. He's another one. Just a leftist
that's
chill.
Like, sometimes I was pissed off at them. Yes. That's part of what we do. And
this is on MS Now, which I thought they still have. They still have their little MSNBC thing up there. Not sure what that's all about. Of course, now this is Harry Sisson. Harry Sisson here is talking about this whole thing.
Listen to Jimmy Kimmel's comments, which I posted on my page. You can see that they are very mild. He's not even making fun of Charlie Kirk. He's making fun of Donald Trump. These executives know that Jimmy Kimmel did not say anything outrageous.
First of all, this is Harry Sisson. Harry Sisson is a paid operative for the Democrat Party. A lot of his money was coming from through USAID, by the way, through an organization that was he's a paid shill for the left. There's a lot of controversy in his life personally. A lot of things have happened. He's been involved in some serious things in his personal life that are I can't believe the guy's even still got a anybody listens to the guy at all. He's a pervert.
justice, yet they are bending the knee to Donald Trump because they're scared of him. They're scared of retaliation or having licenses pulled.
So this is the whole thing. Licenses pulled and deals, because there's some kind of a deal about to go through. They're all concerned about the FCC. The head of the FCC is, what's this guy's name? Don something. I don't, whatever his name is. Whatever his name is. They have no idea how this stuff works. The head of the FCC does not make this decision on his own. There's a whole committee of individuals and representatives. The SEC gets involved in this kind of stuff. The FCC and the SEC get involved. There's other government organizations that are involved in all this stuff. There's not one man that makes this decision, first of all. It is even within the FCC, it's taken through committee. It's taken through through proper channels and paperwork. And it's not just he has to sign off on it. The head of the FCC has to sign off on it. But it's not a sign off that it's just sign off that everything's correct. It's not a sign off that it's so ridiculous for them to say, oh, well, they had to can Jimmy Kimmel because of Trump. Trump was bullying them into doing this. Really? Because this deal has to go through. If they don't do this, this deal won't go through. They said this on several different occasions. Stephen Colbert was another one. They brought it up again. Oh, they have this. Well, because this deal is going. They find some deal that's going through, and they have to. Well, they have to get rid of Stephen Colbert because of this deal. Because the Trump administration is pushing them for this. You know, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. Because I don't know, but they don't know either. And my guess is they're wrong. They're coming up with something. Again, it's a straw narrative. This is coming from people who lie about everything under the sun. They're still telling us. They're still trying to say that they just can't admit to themselves or anybody else that this guy was a radicalized left-wing nut. They can never admit that. This has been going on for 20 years. I remember when Rush Limbaugh first used that term. This was a radical left-wing nut. When he was talking about the Unabomber. Let's face it. This guy had Al Gore's reading material in his little hut that he lived in. He was a left-wing nut. Limbaugh called it out, and he was right. But the left refused to acknowledge it, refused to own up to it. They've been doing this for 20 years. They're still doing it. It's all propaganda. It's all narrative hyperbole junk that they just throw out there. Oh, look. Stop looking at what just happened, what the radical left has done. It's what's scary for America. Should send a chill down your spine is what they're doing to Jimmy Kimmel. What they are doing to Jimmy Kimmel. Who's they? His employer stopped his show. And this is a constitutional crisis of some kind. No, I wouldn't say it's exactly a constitutional crisis. Here's more.
Number one,
these
big companies are not going to protect us. Independent media is more important than ever. But number two, Donald Trump is coming for our rights. It's not a hypothetical. It's not something that might happen in the future. It's happening right now before our very eyes.
Donald Trump is coming for your rights. It's happening before your very eyes. And which rights exactly was Donald Trump involved in here? That's what I want to know. It's pathetic. And now we got this other thing here that's happened. This is Scott Jennings.
You were at this table last night, and you defended.
What's her name? Abby Phillips.
Tonight, we are seeing the FCC chairman explicitly threatening a company over speech that they don't like. You're good with it or not?
Well, I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's still free to speak. He just isn't necessarily free to do it on ABC, which obviously made a business decision I see everybody rushing to blame the administration for this tonight. But you had Nexstar, which owns a bunch of ABC affiliates, and Sinclair Group, which owns a bunch of ABC affiliates, saying they were mad about what he did. I'm sure it generated massive numbers of viewer complaints into the affiliates. A smart TV person said the only thing you can't do in TV is piss off the affiliates. So then why, and I think that's what they did.
So then why did Brendan Carr?
This is a key, right? He just said the absolute truth right there. The people who are paying for the show, the advertisers. You don't tick them off. They will pull the funding. The affiliates are the ones you can't tick off.
I have to say, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. And then he went on to say that they can either censor Jimmy Kimmel or the FCC will have more work to do. And as you may know...
Yeah, now the FCC will have more work to do. What this has to do with is how the FCC... Well, we'll get into that a little later.
Nexstar has business before the FCC. They have a deal to purchase...
This is the whole Nexstar thing there. This is...
To purchase another TV group, Tenga, for $6.2 billion. In order to do that, they need Brendan Carr.
Brendan Carr,
say,
he's
yes,
the head of the FCC.
Yes, you may own more TV stations than is legally allowed right now. So there's...
Remember when Trump...
So this is what they're... What they're talking about here is this whole issue... Now, you could go through an entire laundry list of things that the left has done. Here's Brian Stelter. Let's go back over this a little bit for just a second. Brian Stelter has this to say.
Nexstar already owns lots of TV stations. It wants to merge with Tegna, which owns lots of other stations. In order to do that,
he's the chief media analyst. Brian Stelter is the chief media analyst at CNN. Chief media analyst.
Chair's permission, and it actually needs the SEC to change the regulations entirely about how many stations an individual company can own.
Now, you notice he said SEC there. Not the FCC, the SEC. And it sounds similar, but he is at least saying that. He understands it, but he's saying it in a way that he's confusing people.
So, Nexstar has all of this pending business before the government. Tegna also does. And there's another big station owner called Sinclair that also has business pending before the government.
Everybody always has business pending before the government. This is the dirty little secret that they can pull all of this stuff out at any given time. This stuff's probably been going on since before Trump was. Trump has only been in office for about nine months. How long do you think these deals take to happen? Sometimes these things go on for years. But I digress.
So what do we know tonight? We know that both Nexstar and Sinclair called up ABC this afternoon, complained about Kimmel, and said they were yanking the show off their stations. ABC subsequently yanked the show nationwide. So we know that two major TV station owners, both of which need to curry favor with the Trump administration, were the ones that most loudly and vocally condemned Kimmel and said they were going to not air the show tonight and in the coming nights.
So then why did NBC take it off completely from everywhere?
It's an Occam's razor situation. It's exactly what it looks like.
Suddenly they're all...
Yeah. So this is where they're at. Their heads are popping off with all this faux outrage, faux self-righteousness, all the whole thing. It's absolutely pathetic. But that's where we are today. We are at this point now where... Like I said, they have none. They have no self or self introspect, self awareness, no understanding. And I think at one point Scott Jennings even said something the other day about, you know, you guys, you look in the mirror. We just want you to look in the mirror and see what you see. Take a look at yourself here with this whole thing, because they can't. It's like they move on from so much they can't even see their own hypocrisy in what they're saying. And it just blows one's mind to think that. Now, Jimmy Kimmel knew, by the way, that at the time he said this, there was already plenty of reports out there that it wasn't a MAGA guy that shot Charlie Kirk. But they're still having a hard time admitting to it. I think, I don't know if it's, I might have a clip here of where they're talking about this whole thing with, where is it? This is AOC's response.
Never to appear.
This is...
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News.
Oh, this is his comments.
With his manager.
This is a comment here about Tucker Carlson.
Parting ways, which means he was fired.
Find this here.
It's about January 6th.
See, here we go.
Fox News has severed bow ties with Tucker Carlson. After all these years, they are parting ways, which means he was fired. I mean, that's really what parting ways means. Tucker couldn't be reached for comment.
So, he's talking about Tucker Carlson getting fired because they're parting bow ties. That was a cute little dig. I got to give it to him. But he didn't write that himself, I'm sure. But he's talking about this. And of course, then he goes into this whole thing of everybody's cheering.
And he's already on a plane to Moscow to meet with his manager. But what a shock. I mean, what an absolutely delightful shock this is.
Delightful
Tucker
shock.
Can spend more time at home tanning his testicles and touching himself to that sexy green M&M. Sadly, he's probably not done poisoning old people's brains. The question now is, where will he do it next? Will he go to OAN? Will he go to Newsmax? Will he crawl back up Satan's...
I'm not going to listen to that.
One of the most despicable Mother Tuckers ever to appear on American television.
Tucker Carlson
this is AOC.
Out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
She's thrilled about
what
it.
What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that was arguably responsible for some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country.
Oh, yeah, she's a victim. She's a victim.
I also kind of feel like... I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled, and then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building or something. But deplatforming works, and it is important. And
deplatforming works.
Good things can happen.
And
deplatforming works. I bet you she's going to come out and start yelling about Jimmy Kimmel, talking about what's happening there.
We're true, right? I mean, they basically pushed us and said, you know, anything that
this is Facebook guy
says that vaccines might have side effects, you basically need to take down. And I was just like,
Zucker.
We're not going to do that. Like, we're clearly not going to do that. I mean, that is kind of inarguably
who is,
true.
Who is they? Who's telling you to take down things that talk about vaccine side effects?
It was people in the Biden administration. I think these people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like scream at them and curse, and it's like,
wow.
Huh. Yeah. That's what's happening. That's what was happening. And that was okay. That was okay. This is the kind of hypocrisy we're dealing with, folks. And I don't know, you know, what else to say about that. Again, hate speech is protected speech. You can say it all you want. Death threats, not. It's, you know, you can say it, but there are consequences. Your employer, by the way, is not the United States of America. Your employer does not have a Bill of Rights. Your employer... I hate to tell you this, but when you contract to work for them, you give up some of your rights. You're agreeing to give them your life, your time. This is why I don't think it should be taxed. Because you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your life is your own. If you want to trade that for something, your time is your life. If you want to trade your time for something, the government shouldn't have any... You have a right to that. How does the government come in and somehow... Look, if my life is worth something... that someone's willing to pay me for because of my skills and my abilities and what I can do. How does the government come in and say that I owe them something now for that trade? That's why I have a problem with it, because they're taxing your life. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. Of course, now the socialists will step in and say, well, but you have a right to live. You have a right to life. So therefore, you have a right to exist. The government should take care of that right. They should protect that right to exist. They should give you a basic living income. They should give you housing and even a car. This is where it goes. It starts going down this road. There was a politician a while back who was running for president. I can't remember. I think it was around 2000. He was on the left. He was some kind of obscure guy that was out there. He believed everybody should get a free iPhone, free iPad, free everything, free computer, free whatever. Everything should be free. Ridiculous. I mean, it's just that kind of stuff. They're screaming about the fact that, of course, Kennedy is part behind most of this, but they're screaming about the fact that the SNAP card can't buy soda pop anymore. Can only buy things like produce, like fresh food, real food. Like they don't like the fact that you can't buy soda pop and candy bars. You can only buy, you know, like milk, cheese, bread, eggs, papayas, bananas, apples, oranges, whatever. It's just, they'd rather have you buying, they're trying to fight for your right to buy soda pop. And here's the sad thing about this is one of the largest, well, the largest item, the biggest item bought with SNAP cards. I think it's like 40% or 35 to 40%, I think, of what's spent on, it's the largest expenditure. Single expenditure is soda pop. That's no wonder we have a problem. So this is where we're at, folks. And it's just, you know, I hate to kind of leave you with this on a Thursday. I'm probably going to be unable to do a show tomorrow. Just to give you some idea. I'm going to be waking up. Actually, tomorrow I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow morning. It's a long day tomorrow. I've got about a 12-hour long day tomorrow. End up in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I believe on Saturday morning end up in Wausau, Wisconsin, and then I'll end up in Manhattan on Sunday, or I'm sorry, on Saturday afternoon. I'm probably not going to do a show from Manhattan Saturday, and I'll be home Sunday. So Monday through Thursday of next week, I'll have shows again, and things will be kind of settled down, I think. I'll be able to do a live show at some point because things are kind of ramping down now for vacation being over and some things being done. I still have a lot to get done before the snow flies, but hopefully I'll have about a month before that ends up coming to fruition. But it is now 8:32. I've been on the show here for about almost 40 minutes. I just want to say this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for any input that you might offer. I do want to continue to offer up condolences for the Kirk family. And my continued prayer is that the truth will just continue to just pierce through the darkness in this hour. A lot of people are testifying that they have and that they are going to church again. Some haven't gone for years since they were children. This has really shaken them, awakened them. And the movement that's happening around the world is incredible. What's happening in Britain, for example, I'm not sure exactly everything that's happening there, but people are realizing they're not alone. That's the biggest thing here. And I think that there are people on the left who are realizing that they have been on the wrong side. And it's all because, in my opinion, people are paying attention and they're seeing through a lot of the baloney that's out there. One of the biggest arguments that I saw initially, when Kirk initially got assassinated, well, he spoke about empathy. They're coming up with all this stuff that he said. Well, he said he doesn't like empathy. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like it. wait a minute. Even Obama came out and said some things. Well, what happened to him was a tragedy, and I grieve for his wife and kids, children and his family. But I didn't always agree with everything he said. He said some bad things. He said some wrong things. Why do they always have to throw a butt in there? Just make the statement. Make the statement and put a period at the end of it and don't put a butt there. Keep your butt out of it. You can say, I didn't always agree with everything you said. Make that a statement of its own. That's fine. Because he knew you didn't agree with everything he said, and he doesn't agree with everything you said, but he was willing to talk about it. And to his credit, that's what he would want us to do now. This idea that somehow he deserved it because he didn't like empathy, which is a false statement to begin with. He was talking about the difference between empathy and sympathy and the definition of the two words and how sympathy is more powerful than empathy. It sympathy actually is an action word. Empathy is a feeling word. I get where he was coming from with this. They're both important. He didn't denounce empathy. But empathy in and of itself, I'm not going to go down that road because he does a better job of explaining himself on that one than I will because I haven't heard his full statement. I'm not going to try to, you really have to listen to the context, the whole context of what he was saying and the question that was asked of him and where it was all going. So this is what they do. They take parts of something and they twist it around. And they, in the process of doing that, I mean, I've got some friends on Facebook. I've seen some of the things that they post. And they'll post this stuff about his some of the statements that he's made. This one I do have to confront because I think it's important that we do this. Oh, he thinks it's justified that that people die because we have the Second Amendment. That it's worth having the Second Amendment even if people die. The context of his statement was this. More people die every year from automobile crashes than gun violence. Period. Now, you'll hear these words about, there's somebody out there that said, what is it, 50,000 kids a year die from gun violence? That isn't... Where do you get... Okay, school shootings, for example. School-related shootings. Shootings that happen on school property or school-related shootings, they call it. 17 children a year die from that. That's 17 too many. That's the average. You want to talk about the average number of kids who die in school zones hit by distracted drivers? It's a lot more than that. Why aren't we banning cars being allowed to drive through school zones? Well, because parents have to pick up their kids. Because it would just be impractical. This is where we're at. This is what he's trying to say. We're not going to ban cars. Because people die in cars every year. He's trying to put some perspective here into the whole thing of there's no number of acceptable deaths. We're constantly always and always want to try to limit and mitigate the number of deaths every year. It's not that he wants those things to happen. He's trying to give you some perspective here. The number of children who die on playgrounds from just injuries is greater than the school shootings every year. And yet, that's all we hear about when there's a school shooting. And a lot of times, the school shootings, in fact, the high percentage of school shootings are gang-related. There was recently a school shooting that happened. I can't remember which one this is. I think it was an 11 or 12-year-old kid. The principal was informed that this child had brought a gun to school. She was told four times. The child ended up shooting the teacher. The teacher survived. Every time that she was told that the student had a gun, she dismissed it. The last time was in the last hour of school, and she basically remarked that, well, he hasn't done anything yet. Let's wait it out. School's almost over. Never confronted the child, never asked the child, never did a search of the child. Had it in his pocket. She didn't want to deal with it. Teacher almost died. Kid was grade school. So, you know, the culture that we're dealing with is just very different now. And I think people are realizing that, hey, maybe things were, you know, maybe we need to take a step back and restore some things the way they used to be. This idea of what are we progressing towards? We're being very progressive, but where is our progress here? What is happening with us as a nation, as a culture? Just because the last how many years that we've had the Bible not just removed from school, but vilified by our curriculum. Condemned, mocked, and laughed at. God's word has been just completely pushed out. Now, not every school is doing this. There's a lot of country schools that the school I was raised in, the main school that I went to, school system, now, we had a Bible class. You had to have your parents' permission to go to it when I was in grade school. When I got into high school, that didn't exist. Now, the class of 81 that graduated after me, actually started something at the school that still is going to this day. At the high school level, junior high and high school level, they have a Bible class. And again, you still have to have parental permission as a volunteer class. But they have I think it's every day. Three times a week. I think it is, or whatever it is. They still have one, which I find fascinating. Of course, I said something to them about how are you getting away with that? And they were like, shh, don't tell anybody. They've had some lawsuits that they've won, every one of them. The reason, because they've done it all the right way. It's not forced on the kids. It's not, you know, something. It's, so it's all based on just going through the Bible. I find that fascinating. And I know that there are other schools out there that are doing the same thing. I'm sure there are. And good for them for doing that. The boldness of that is incredible. So now, having said that, that's not where most of the nation is right now. We have a cultural issue, especially in the urban areas. In fact, they are using religion in some cases to promote a social gospel. And the social gospel is almost more dangerous than atheism or than the anti. Because there's so much wrong with it. It looks like it seems so good, and yet is very dangerous and poisonous. And of course, you get the people out there who are quoting scripture, like the Reverend Al Sharpton, and Larry O'Connor has good questions to ask there. What church is he a part of? What denomination is he? Let's look into some of his background here. He's a reverend. Call the show, folks. Text the show. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Shabbat Shalom. I'll talk to you on Monday.